time to talk some cricket because we spent a bit of time talking about the English T20 Blast in the last 4 weeks or so. We know Aaron Finch is going gangbusters from an Aussie perspective, but Callum Ferguson's finding some good form too. Made 102 not out against Notts about 10 days ago. We want to track down that young man and find out how he's going. Callum, good morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries, buddy. Great to have you on board. Now, T20 is a tough, it's a tough game. It's a brutal game. You've got to be on from ball one out there as soon as you get out there. 102 not out against Notts. Were you seeing him good from the start, or were you just had to work into it a bit?
No, actually, yeah, I found the middle of the bat reasonably early in the innings, which was good. Not necessarily boundaries. We had Moeen Ali and I both had to run far too many in the first couple of overs. started to hit him a bit further as we went, and it was a great day for us. We sort of, funnily enough, Moeen spoke to us before the start of the day, and we looked at it. It was a really dry wicket. We thought, geez, if we can set ourselves for 150, 160, then we'll be right in the game. And because we got such a great start, Moeen and I batted together for about 11 overs. We got well ahead of where we thought we were going to get to, and we ended up with about 200. So fair to say the Paynes Trust were a fair way off the mark with the pass score.
I must admit, when I saw the scorecard about 10 days ago when you made the runs, and I saw him at the top of the order, Moeen Ali, I thought it must have been somebody else. We know he's made some handy middle order and lower order runs for England through his time at Test match and one day level. But opening the batting, is that a new thing for him?
He's done it a fair bit at county level for Worcester. He bats at three in the 4 day side, and then bats at the top in the short form stuff. And I think that's probably how he made his way into the England set up in the first place, batting at the top, making big runs for Worcester, and then obviously finding his way into the side, predominantly probably for his bowling, like you mentioned, but certainly his batting is dangerous, so he's a really handy player for us.
Callum, you've played a lot of Big Bash and 2020 cricket around the world. What's the difference over there playing 2020 in England?
Look, I've really enjoyed it here. One thing that we haven't done in white ball cricket in 50-over cricket is play home and away. And over here, getting to play home and away, whether it's 20-over cricket or 50-over cricket, it's fantastic atmosphere and whatnot. And obviously with the crowds in T20 being gangbusters pretty much everywhere around the world, it's no different here. I've really enjoyed, the wickets, I think, over here they've been quite conducive to big scores a lot of the time. But then you get a bit of a mix. You get some of those low, slow, grubby wickets as well. I've really enjoyed it. I think they play a really aggressive brand of T20 over here where it's pretty much go from ball one. What you do see is sides batting quite deep. You see that in the Big Bash a bit, but we've probably seen, a few more all-rounders in the side, like our side in particular. We've got our four-day opening batsman batting at nine for us and bowling some dibbly-dobbly off-cutters and leg-cutters. So, you don't generally see someone of that calibre with the stick batting so low. And Nottinghamshire were a bit the same over the last couple of games as well. So one thing I would say is that it's probably just guys going a lot harder through the middle of the innings than what you'd potentially see back home. But I'd say that the average scores are probably a little bit higher as well.
Yeah, further that, what's life like as a cricketer over there? Are you playing every second day? Are you travelling a lot? Is there more training? What does like a general week look like for a cricketer over there?
It's hectic. It's a lot more hectic than our schedule over here. I'm not playing the four-day stuff at the moment, but certainly... The schedule for the guys that are playing both or all three formats is nuts. They just go from ball one of the season to the end. Quite often they'll play a one-day game and then start a four-day game the very next day. Not all the time, but every now and then that'll happen. That wouldn't happen back home. You wouldn't ever play a back-to-back T20. In the Big Bash, well, we played 3 and 4 days over the last weekend, which was nuts. I mean, it really tests a lot of the bodies around the competition, mine included. It's certainly just the work rate that they have to go through throughout the season is another level on what we've got back home. Therefore, they have to manage their players a bit. They have to rest guys at different stages and make sure they've got good depth in the bowling stocks in particular. It's quite common for them to play a four-day game, have one day off, and then go straight into another four-day. It's a workload that really is another level on what we've got back home.
So, Callum, explain to our listeners how many games you play in the T20, because obviously in Australia coming up in the Big Bash season, it's going to 14 games, which is something that we've never seen before. How many is it in the competition in England?
Yeah, it's 14. So, you play almost everyone twice in your league. So they split the competition into north and south groups. Whereas the county four-day stuff is, it's Div 1, which is 8 teams, and the rest are in Div 2. So it's 14 games. I haven't played every game, so it's hard to really gauge whether that feels like it's too much or not enough. But the guys here seem to be pretty comfortable with 14 games, which gives me a bit of confidence that we'll be right back home. But certainly it's a good workload when you put it up against with all the other cricket that they played throughout the summer. But 14 games, all of the home games we've had have been absolutely heaving. They've been hanging from the rafters at Worcester. So they can't get enough of it over here, which is interesting considering they almost saw a dip in crowds about 4 or 5 years ago when they went north of 14 games and they just flooded the market and people started to lose a bit of interest. So I think they feel like they've got it about right here with 14.
I want to ask you about that because they've got this situation where they're looking at going to a city-based competition moving forward, that 100-ball stuff that they've been talking about. T20 cricket's been around for a lot longer in England than it has been here in Australia. We think back to league cricket in England going back 20, 25 years minimum. So has it been sort of reinvented a little bit without doing much change, and why has that been the case?
Yeah, look, I think there's mixed emotions about the 100. In fact, I wouldn't even say it's mixed. The playing group aren't comfortable with it at all. It's something they just aren't interested in. And some of the different concepts that have leaked out of the ECB boardrooms at different stages have scared the hell out of a lot of players as well. But I won't go into any more details on that. The city-based stuff, I think guys are a bit excited about. And I don't think, I'm not exactly sure whether that's the 100 comp is actually going to be just the franchises. I think it might be, but I don't want to be quoted on that. But certainly the city-based stuff, they are a bit excited about because they think that it might strengthen the competition. However, the 100, they're not sure about. So I think they love the way the game's played as we speak. I think I speak on behalf of the Australian players back home as well, that we think the 2020 game at the moment is a fantastic product. So they're really unsure about the 100 over here, but they like the idea of strengthening the competition by going to less teams, Worcester and Birmingham becoming one team, for an example. So they're excited about that, but not the 100 at the moment.
You've had a good viewing platform in the last little while at Worcester because there's been some pretty handy players going through. Travis Head, one of your South Australian buddies, has been part of the system. Martin Guptill comes in and makes 100 off 7 balls. Like it's very entertaining, I imagine, watching those guys in full flight.
Yeah, it's been great. We've had a fantastic season so far with the Worcester team. They've been really pleased, and I've been really pleased to be able to match up with some of those guys in the same side, and we've probably seen a bit more of Moeen Ali than we expected to. Worcester's one side that's actually really focused on bringing through their own players through the underage systems, and they're having a lot of success. Some of the bowling talent they've got coming through just in this county in Worcester is scary. So they're having a lot of success with that. So it's a great feel around the place. They're all homegrown players. They've all got a They'll wear their heart and their sleeve for the team, and they've got a good thing going here. So for Martin, myself and Travis to come in with Wayne Parnell in the last couple of games, it's been a fantastic environment to come into. We've loved it, and we've probably seen the results. The results have certainly shown that We made the semi-final of the one days as well, so it looks like we're in a quarter-final coming up. Hopefully we win the last, we've got a derby on Friday, which the last minor round game, we win that, we'll host the final, so that's really exciting.
I reckon if you average 44, batting at the top of the order in T20 cricket, you've done a hell of a job. But then you go and look at the top of the rankings at the moment. Aaron Finch is averaging 120. What the hell's going on there?
With a strike rate of
191. Well, is he just in rare form?
Oh, mate, he's been in great form for a while now. And he's just going to another level with his white ball cricket, which is great to see. I'm surprised his form in four-day cricket hasn't quite matched it, but I think that's probably on its way too. He's a hell of a talent, so I'm expecting big things from him in red ball cricket over the next couple of years as well, just to follow suit, because his white ball cricket is just unbelievable at the moment. And he's a hell of a player, a hell of a bloke, and certainly someone who, we're hoping will take us a long way into the next World Cup, because, if he's up and firing, then he gives us every chance at the top of the list to get off to a flyer and then win games for us.
Callum, with a lot of young talent now looking to play 2020 competitions around the world, because you can go pretty much year-round playing all those competitions, would you recommend other young talent you play with here in Australia to go do, county cricket in England and take that experience on for the betterment of their game in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think young players in particular, I'd really encourage to get over and play some league cricket, if they're 18, 19, 20, 21, because it's just a bit of a different pressure. You come over and you play as the one overseas player, and pretty well most weeks the result will ride on how each side's pro goes. And then down the track, once you get into the Australian squad or play a test match or a few one days, that then opens the door to play county cricket. You can't just come over and play without having been in an international squad for Australia these days. So it's a bit harder to get over here and qualify, but you can if you've got a British passport as well. So it's harder to get over, but if you can, you just got to get over here if you can, because it's a great experience. It's a different workload, it's different conditions, it's a juke ball. It just gives you every opportunity. When it comes to coming over here and playing in a national series potentially, I think, the more guys we can get over here playing in these conditions, the better, and we'll certainly reap the benefits of that in the future.
And you get to watch Newcastle United up close.
Oh, mate, I'm desperate. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get to a game. I'm going to get back to the JLT Cup, which will start mid-September this year, a bit earlier than normal. So I think I'm going to miss the team. I'm expecting big things from us this year.
You've just got to stay over there, Callum, because we're seeing the Victorian boys last week crawling through the mud doing some sort of pre-season camp, which absolutely had nothing to do with cricket. You should, I think going over there and...
You might have heard a few whispers from him about that too.
I think you're probably doing the right thing for your pre-season, doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm comfortable, I think. having had to do a couple of knee reco rehabs over the last few years, and then subsequently doing extra rehab the following years, I haven't been able to get over here enough. So I've ended up doing about 7 or 8 pre-seasons in a row. This was just a godsend coming out. It just rests the body up a bit.
Yeah, overrated pre-seasons. That's what I reckon anyway. Good luck to you, Callum, and the derby to finish off the T20 Blast competition on top of the table there, Worcester. And great to see you in form. Long may it continue.
Thanks, boys. Always a pleasure.